In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, I hope you didn't mind a nine-verse hymn. It's a little on the lengthy side, but there's a purpose behind it. It's not only a Sunday where we have a shorter order of service, so we can sing hymns like that and still get done in an hour. It has to do with the way the gospel lesson is laid out for the day. It might have caught your attention as we read the gospel account of Luke and Jesus' teaching of prayer in general and the Lord's Prayer in specific, that this accounting of the Lord's Prayer is a little different from the other gospels. Maybe you've noted over the years that when the conversation turns to which version of the Lord's Prayer to use, someone could rightly ask, well, which version from the gospels do you wish to use? Because Jesus had multiple teaching sessions on prayer and didn't always present it exactly the same in each of those episodes. And so what we use in worship is actually a compilation of those presentations with other scripture added as the doxology at the end. And so I didn't want to use this time of meditation together for a point-by-point exploration of the Lord's Prayer. And there we used Luther's catechism lesson set to music for that purpose. Today I wanted to focus you in on something from the lesson right after Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer, focusing particularly on verses 8 through 10. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Those of you who have heard me preach on this lesson before, or who have joined me for different Bible studies, know that in the last few years I've expressed myself as absolutely loving the choices that the translators of the NIV 2011 did with the particular phrase here that's translated shameless audacity. Jesus sets the context of the parable. Middle of the night, neighborhood where the houses are close to each other, unexpected visitor, no supplies to entertain guests. So one neighbor goes to another and just starts pounding on his door. It's pretty obvious the response he should be getting is, "What are you doing? It's the middle of the night. We're all in bed. I'm not getting up to get you anything." But there's no give. There's no negotiation. There's just more pounding. Not going away until he gets what he wants. And eventually, he gets what he came for. And Jesus points out, not because of the friendship of neighbors, but because of shameless audacity. Put yourself in those shoes for a moment. And turn back the clock to that day and age, or maybe even a neighborhood you lived in, where everybody's friendly enough and knows each other well enough to borrow things from each other any time of the given day or night. Even in a context like that, maybe where you're even family with neighbors, the middle of the night for food to give to somebody that's your guest. I think the words shameless audacity actually express it very well, what Jesus is intending for us to understand. Anybody that's going to behave in that way, they're shameless, and they absolutely are audacious. And that's encouraged. Jesus is telling us that's a good thing. He wants us to understand and think about prayer in that way. Shameless audacity is exactly what this is. So it begs the question of you. How persistent are you in your prayers? Jesus clearly teaches us to speak to God here about anything, anytime, anywhere, and as intensely as we wish. Look at these verses again and realize there are literally no limits established here. Jesus tells us to make demands of God and be aggressive and persistent in doing it. Of course, Jesus is taking into account, as he is teaching in that moment, that he is talking to believers. He's talking to his disciples, confident in their salvation. And so they are also naturally, progressionally confident in their relationship with their Savior God, their Creator God, their Provider and their Protector. And they are ready to talk to him about anything and everything. And that's because they know, they realize, they trust that as he says it, it is true, that he sees everything, he knows everything, he even hears our thoughts and the expressions of our hearts. So also being comfortable asking God for anything, anywhere, at any time, really is just the natural progression of relationship between believer and the Lord that we believe in. But be sure to take note that this prescription of Jesus isn't just about being confident in speaking to him, praying for anything. It is also clearly about being exceptionally persistent in those prayers. How badly do you want the things that you talk to God about, that you ask him for? Are you consistent about it? Do you even keep for yourself a prayer list to be sure to go back to the things that you are most sure you need to be talking to your Heavenly Father about, whether that be on your phone or in some other app, or whether you're just old school and you log it with pencil and pen? Are you consistent about your prayer life? Are you intentional and even fearless in storming the throne of heaven to make sure that your Savior God knows what you are hoping for? How often do you tell God what you think should be the next step or the next blessing in whatever journey you are taking? It's okay to do that. He wants you to do that. He's telling you that here, and it is clear that he wants you to keep doing it until you have an answer to your request. Jesus here prescribes persistent prayer. Do you know the joy of persistent prayer, especially the joy of answered prayer? Have you had that experience in life where something a ways down the road, perhaps something you had even forgotten, you had talked to God about, you now seeing play out years, maybe even decades later, and you have the Spirit-inspired thought, I remember that I prayed for this, and at the time I prayed for it, I thought this is kind of a crazy, reaching prayer, almost to the point of outrageous, but hey, I did ask God for this, and here it is. It's happening. It's unfolding for me or for someone else. What joy is there for us in knowing that God keeps his promises on his time frame when he knows what is best for us. So let's get practical about this for a moment. How persistent are you in your prayers? Are you immediate about prayers? Do you just stop whatever you're doing? Maybe not physically, but you know in that moment your mind, your thoughts, your heart are somewhere else than what the context of the situation is calling for as you're speaking to your God. Or do you always relegate things to some time later? Are you ready to pray first about anything challenging you popping up in your path? What does it take for you to be certain and insistent and consistent with your prayers? Does it have to be life-changing in its importance? Or are you also persistent about little things? Do you talk to God about absolutely everything? Or do you have the understanding that he knows all the details, so the things that you really want to spend time with on with him are the biggest things? It is good to recognize our freedom as forgiven children of God, to choose any of these options, because all of them are available. Options Jesus himself wants us to not only consider, but to pursue. Why am I so confident about that? That confidence comes from three other words that follow fairly soon in this teaching session of Jesus. Three easy words he uses in succession here: ask, seek, and knock. In addition to being persistent in our prayers, Jesus clearly also wants us to be progressional in our prayers. He does not want us to ever give up asking things of God, even if though the immediate answer might be not yet. We are to ask God for the things that will bless us and bless the lives of those we love. He wants us to think big. And he wants us to pursue those things with intensity and consistency. And he uses an illustration here. An illustration that's easy for us to understand because we've likely all experienced it in life. The experience of the search. There's a lot of things we could be looking for. A lot of even animate things that we might be looking for. But in this context, I'd ask you to just imagine for yourself a moment before there were cell phones, before there were other means of communication available, where all human communication happened by words, mouth to mouth, face to face. You're looking for someone that you need for some reason. How do you go about finding them? You start out by asking the people around you if they've seen them, if they have any idea where they are. And if all of them tap out and have no ability to help you, what's the next step in the process? After asking, you start seeking. You go to all the places where you might expect to find them, where they usually spend their time and demonstrate their interest. And when that has played itself out, you progress to the next step of knocking on doors. A house-to-house search in the neighborhood. All the offices down the hallway. Wherever it is, the context of who it is that you're looking for, you physically take it to the next step. See what Jesus is doing here? It's a natural reality in our lives. The more we're in need, the more we realize the importance of the moment of the search, the levels will take it, and that's what he prescribes for our prayers. Jesus uses this teaching session on prayer, during which he teaches the concepts of the Lord's Prayer, to also instruct us on the intensity of prayer, the consistency of prayer, and the progression of prayer. He does not want us to ever give up on anything. But notice in the context how, when Jesus is clearly talking to believers, there will be built into this scenario the reality that we will know what pleases God and we will know what follows his will when we pray, because we would never ask God with such intensity for things that wouldn't be a blessing for us and for others, that wouldn't be of benefit to us on our journey through this world, especially as we're focused on this journey leading us to eternity in heaven with him. And so, unspoken in this particular moment, as we focus on just these couple of words, is the process of understanding what God wants us to pray about. And that's listening to him. That's listening and watching him in his word speak to us and speak to others who are also believers over the course of time, as they've offered their prayers, their hopes, their dreams to their God and watched him fulfill them for them. But ultimately, it's about us understanding, as Paul talks to us in Romans and other places in the scriptures present to us that concept, that if God is willing to become one of us, to be what we need for us to know heaven forever, to be the one that comes into humanity, into our human race for the purpose of facing all the challenges of our lives, all the temptations, all the sin of the world around us, all the brokenness we experience on a daily basis, experiencing it all for the purpose of remaining holy and righteous, fulfilling the demands and expectations of God so that we have peace with God forever through his living and his dying and his rising. How can we not have the confidence that he's also going to do everything else we need, day by day, situation by situation? He wants us to see him as a partner on our journey, a continuous companion who's with us, understanding and experiencing our lives, and so interested in knowing what things we wish to raise to the level of conversation with him, that we will pursue it as his will, on his time frame, what would be best for us. And so we wait for those moments to treasure and rejoice in prayers acknowledged by God in his answering them and keeping his promises and bestowing on us and those around us whom we love the things that we've asked for with intensity and with persistence. How awesome that can be when one day, long after we may have forgotten what we even prayed for in a moment that seemed urgent, that answer is available to us, as clear and certain as Jesus' instructions to pray here, that God has said yes, and we know without any doubt that this is an answered prayer because Jesus promised. When it's all said and done, he's promised us perfection as a gift. He's promised us a relationship with our eternal Father that will last beyond this life, in a place that's beyond our hopes, in an existence that will be, in its essence, the answer to every one of our prayers and all of our expectations. If he has been so perfect and gracious in answering that need and fulfilling that promise, I can assure you, you and I can have confidence. He's going to be just as consistent, just as persistent, just as progressional in fulfilling these promises to us. Amen. Please stand. We'll grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.